Okay, we'll get started this morning. We're studying Proverbs 31, verses 21 to 31. This is the last half of the acrostic poem, the proverbial acrostic poem on the noble wife. Proverbs 31, 10 to 31 is an acrostic poem. Acrostic means that the first line of each verse starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I think this was used as what they call a mnemonic device. You would memorize the poem because A stands for such and B, so forth. And in this case, it's Aleph, Beth, Gimel instead of ABC. Okay, we do not know the author, but it is canonical because of Christ's word at Luke 11:50 to 51. In Luke 11:50 to 51, Jesus implied the Old Testament that we have Genesis through Malachi is inspired of Scripture and not the Jewish Apocrypha, because they referred to the first prophet that was slain would be Abel, and the last prophet that was slain in the Hebrew Old Testament was Zacharias, who perished between the altar and the temple. And Zacharias, his death is recorded in 2 Chronicles. Well, you had the 39 books of the Old Testament in the Hebrew Scripture, but they were arranged differently. Instead of going from Genesis to Malachi, they went from Genesis to 2 Chronicles, but they had the same 39 books. And if Jesus had referred to or meant that the Apocrypha was canonical, he would have mentioned one of the Maccabee brothers, Judas Maccabeus or someone else. So this is canonical. We don't know who wrote it, but Jesus himself implied that it was. So this poem describes a noble wife, and we view the last half of it in Proverbs 31, verses 21 to 31. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer this morning, and then we'll get into the ministry of his word. Father, we thank you for the privilege that you've granted us to gather here this morning. We ask that as we get into this important acrostic poem that deals with this noble woman, godly woman, that we would first of all understand the passage and even go beyond that, understanding how this woman's characteristics come to be and her activities come to be, and that we would understand what you would have us do to live godly lives, whether we are men or women. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, let me start reading at verse 21 then. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And this is what the husband says in verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. End of quote. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that reveres the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Okay, getting back to the Hebrew text, we're translating right from the Hebrew, verse 21. She has no fear for her household from the snow. And the word snow, sheleg, is actually put here for the word cold. All right? For all of her household is clothed, labesh, with scarlet. Shani is the word for scarlet. Now, shani clothing is associated with well-being and luxury in passages like 2 Samuel 1:24. Scarlet clothing was dyed from a little snail that I believe grew and lived in the Mediterranean Sea. And they would harvest this and they would crush the animal and dye the animal and so forth. Mary Magdala from the city of Magdala, which was on the western border of the Sea of Galilee, that city excelled in dyeing purple. And apparently Mary Magdalene gave of the fruit of her earnings. Apparently she was a dyer, and she worked in clothing, and she could sell it. She would have been a fairly wealthy woman and sold her goods, and then she gave that to help Jesus in his earthly ministry. But anyway, scarlet is seen as that which is associated with luxury and well-being. So this woman has the foresight, and that's the whole point of this verse, The woman has the foresight to consider the future regarding her family's clothing needs, and she makes adequate provision for it. She not only gets clothes for them, but she gets clothes so that they can be dressed in good clothes, scarlet, which would be. This is a woman who lives with a husband. They're fairly wealthy. It would be what we call upper middle class in our particular culture today. But she has a lot to do with it because of her righteousness. Remember, under the law, if you were righteous, you would be wealthy, because that was one of the promises that God had in Deuteronomy 28. So we have to keep that in mind. We don't believe in the wealth health gospel as it applies to the church today, but under the law, God indicated you would have wealth and health if you were righteous, which is revealing. When Jesus came to the earth, he was healing people of all sorts of diseases, casting demons out, which demonstrates that there was a spiritual lapse in Israel at the time of Jesus, which was unusual. But because of his abounding grace, Jesus went ahead and healed these people who were sinful, because that's why they had their diseases at the time. Very interesting. All right, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 22. She makes coverlets for her bed. The Hebrew word marbad is a coverlet, or what you would have as in today, it would be a bedspread, that type of a thing. She makes coverlets with her bed with byssus. Byssus is the luxurious, fine, bleached, white, silky textured Egyptian linen, which was highly prized throughout the ancient Near East. And it's the Hebrew word shesh. And purple violet, which is the color of nobility. Argamum is what would probably, what it's used for purple. It's called for reddish purple. I think it probably refers to violet, which would be seen as only with nobility. And is she clothed? She's clothed with violet. So the woman, the noble woman, realizes appearance affects perception. So she clothes their bedroom and herself to win the approving admiration of her husband. She's cognizant of the need to dress herself in a way that is appropriate and is attractive towards her husband. And she dresses up the house and the bedroom where they are together so that it is pleasing. So she's cognizant of her marriage. That comes through here very loudly. She's very, very aware of the need to relate well with her husband. Proverbs 31:23, her husband is become known in the city gates, where he sits to rule among the elders of the land. Let me give you a little bit of cultural background here. Everyone would pass through the city gates when people would live in the city during the nighttime for protection from predators and from armies that would, you know, roam the countryside and guerrilla warfare and whatnot. But during the day, they would pass through the city gates to do their farming on the outside of the city. So everyone passed through the city gates. And as a result, the elders of the city would sit there in those gates in that area. They often had adjoining rooms. And that's where they would judge the affairs of the city. So the rulers, the influential people, were in the gates. So if a person is known in the gates, he's known in the community. And he's known by the leaders of the community and accepted by the people who are leaders in the community. So this is what this tells us a lot about this woman. Her husband has become known in the city gates, where he sits to rule among the elders of the land. The noble woman so functions in supportive submission to her husband that he develops as a leader in the couple's community. It's interesting, this passage implies that this noble woman has an impact on her husband to the extent that it can cause him to develop in his leadership. She has a lot to do with that, how she approaches, how she relates to her husband. Whether she works in a way that squelches his tendency to want to assume good leadership, or she helps it. It's very important. She is cognizant of his role and seeking to be what she can be, to be a help to him so that he can develop as a man. Women have a tremendous impact on men in regards to the development, especially mothers with sons, wives with husbands, and so forth. You have a tremendous impact because the way you relate to your husband affects how he views himself and also how he can be effective. So it's very important for a woman to be very cognizant of this. Verse 24, she makes linen wrapper veil finery. The Hebrew word sadin is the technical word for linen wrapper veil. Wrappers were what the women put over their heads, and then they would wrap around the body. You see many Muslim women today wear that, but this is how people would dress throughout the ancient Near East. And these were beautiful. In fact, even today, they're very beautiful cloths. It's a sign of a beauty for a woman to have one of these. But she makes these and sells and supplies waist sashes, hagor, to the trader merchants. So the noblewoman, being aware of the value of locally made products in far-off lands, takes advantage of this demand to meet it by producing such products herself, enhancing her family's income. Apparently, at this particular time in Israel's history, these waist sashes and fine linen wrapper finery were something that were prized in other nations because of what the women in Israel would make. This woman is aware of that, and so she takes advantage of it. She knows how to make these. She knows how to do those. So she makes these in her spare time, and she can sell them, and that enhances her family's income, and indeed her own income. So this is a woman who is aware of opportunities. She's aware of how her country, her people, are perceived in other lands. This is a lady who is sort of self-educated. So she's not someone who's just focusing on her little nick of the world. She's very aware of what's going on around her. Proverbs 31:25, she is clothed with might and majestic dignity. Hadar's majestic dignity. This is a lady who has a regal bearing about her. And she can laugh, in the context here, she can laugh fearlessly, sahak, at the day coming after, literally. And we would interpret it at the time to come, leyom ahron. So this is a woman who takes care to make sure that she has adequate insurance. She's looking in the future. She's preparing for the future. She's aware of that. I'm always impressed by ladies who make sure that they are never short in the food pantry, because they're aware that electricity can go out, storms can come up. So they have foods that are prepared, foodstuffs and so forth, so they have enough backed up. This lady is like that. She's clothed with might and majesty, and she therefore is prepared for the future. Proverbs 31:26, her mouth she opens with wisdom and instruction. The word Torah is used by the Jews regarding their law. It's also the word for instruction in this context. She opens her mouth with wisdom, which is skill in living, and the instruction of loyal love. This is a technical word, chesed. It's often used of God, God's loyal love. We translate it grace. This is a woman who focuses on loyalty and also on love. Is on her tongue. In other words, this lady works hard at making sure that her speech is edifying. It's not something that tears down and destroys. She's seeking to do what she can do, use her tongue in a way that builds up, that nurtures. Someone has said that you have to give 10 words of encouragement to counter one word of discouragement. That's very true, because we're all liable. If someone has a criticism and so forth, it has a tendency to do a lot of negative damage. This lady's aware of that, aware that people are sensitive, and so she does that which focuses on loyal love. Now, this doesn't mean she says white lies or anything, no, but she's gracious in how she goes about speaking so that she's building people up. Verse 27, she keeps watch over the ways of her household, and the bread of sluggishness she does not eat. That's a Hebrew idiom for she's not lazy. Okay, in other words, she's vigilant. She's always aware of what's going on around her, especially with her household. Verse 28, her children arise and bless her. And the word arise would imply as they begin to grow in life and as they arise into adulthood and so forth, they arise up and they bless her. So these are children who have been exposed to their mother over a period of time, and they appreciate her when they see what she has done for them, and they speak about this themselves. They bless her. They call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises halal her, saying, and this is what he says in verse 29, many daughters, and remember the term daughters is a term of affection for a woman. When Jesus referred to the woman who had the issue of blood, he referred to her, he said, daughter. This would be an endearing term that you would use of a woman in public, but it would be a term whereby you would reach out and you're demonstrating an emotional connection. So the husband is demonstrating an emotional connection. He says, many daughters, have done worthily. But you is the pronoun in the emphatic position. It's written separate from the verb and in front of the verb. So you would translate it, but you excel them all, or excel over all of them. So the husband's love, respect, and appreciation for his wife far exceeds what he sees in all other, even lovely women, which is a sign of a very strong marriage. Her children also rise it up and call her blessed. Demonstrates that there's a strong family life. The family life and the marriage is very heavily affected by this woman's interaction with her husband and with her children. A woman has a tremendous capacity to provide glue in the family. Glue in regards to the marital relationship, glue in regards to the children and so forth. She has a tremendous positive potential in this realm, and this woman has it. Well, what's the key to this, what we call superwoman? I've heard a lot of ladies say, Pastor, this is a superwoman. Well, here we go. Verse 30. Feminine charm or grace, chen, is deceptive, and feminine beauty, yapeh, is a fleeting vapor, or it's vain. But a woman who reveres Yahweh, she, there's the pronoun in the emphatic position again, she, namely the woman who reveres the Lord, she will be praised. Halal is not just blessed, it's the word praised. This summary verse, and Pete hit the nail on the head the last time we were together in this. This summary verse reveals the key to this woman's long list of attributes and achievements in this acrostic poem. Her reverence for the Lord produces her productive, affirmative lifestyle and character traits. This is an overflow of her relationship with God. I've always said the best thing a parent can do for his child is walk with God. And the reason for that is children catch more than what they're taught. They learn more from what they see in our lives, in our attitudes. They pick it up. They're so sharp that way. So if we're going to parent properly, we're going to have to start by being excellent examples. A woman who reveres the Lord is an excellent example to her children. If she reveres the Lord, she has a tremendous spin-off positive influence on her husband. I can't say this enough. A woman has, with her femininity, has a lot of influence anyway, but if it's coupled with a reverence for the Lord, it has a very positive and powerful influence on her husband. So it's very important. Proverbs 31:31, give her the fruit, or give her the reward of her hands, her deeds. And let her works praise halal again. Praise her in the city gates, sha'ar. So a God-revering woman will be honored not only by her close family, such as her husband and her children, but by all people. That's the community. Even her community leaders who administer justice in the city. There's a woman who lives in New Britain. I think her name is Catherine. And that's all they let us know. It's on the Talk of Connecticut. And she calls in every occasionally. She was almost single-handedly responsible for clearing out drug traffic in her part of New Britain, because she saw there was drugs and drug dealers, and so she decided, she went to City Hall, she got the police involved, she held, you know, meetings up and down the community, and made life so difficult for the drug dealers, they just got out because it wasn't worth pulling their hair out. And this lady is Catherine of Britain. I think she's a widow, all right? But when she calls in, Brad Davis, who's on the phone, and I think even Lieutenant Vance, who's the head of the state troopers, I guess, in the state of Connecticut, they know this woman, and they highly regard her. She's received awards because of what she's done. She's a woman, but she is a God-fearing woman. I don't know if she's of our particular faith or not, but she certainly is a one who is concerned about justice and concerned about cleaning up her community. She was greater than the drug dealers. They had to get out of that part of New Britain. So a God-revering woman will not only be honored by her close family, her husband and her children, but even by all people, even by her community leaders who administer justice in the city. Okay, we'll open this up for questions or feedback from you. It could have to do with the first half of this.